The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. Ask you to remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. We invite those of you joining in from home to stand wherever you are and give honor to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 21. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Amen. Heavenly Father, we can only marvel in thanksgiving at the overwhelming grace that is displayed in this book of Ephesians. We have been reminded, as we've been singing today, that we are your select chosen, that you have lavished us with grace, that we have your peace. We have all of the blessings and benefits of salvation in Christ, our riches, our inheritance in him. We have belonging in the body of Christ, your church. We have all of the fullness of your Holy Spirit. We have the full armor of God. Lord, out of all that you have made us to be and all that we have in Christ, you grant the ability and the authority to live these things out in obedience and love. And so, Father, now as we look to the conclusion of this letter to the Ephesians, may we see these things very personally, and may they be applied not only to us by your word and your spirit, but may they be applied by us through faith, that, Lord, our love for you might be seen and expressed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just read to the very end of the book of Ephesians, ready to start over again in chapter 1. It's just been a tremendous journey through this book of Ephesians. And in the conclusion to Ephesians, Paul is making some very personal statements. I know we tend to read these closing sections of letters almost like they're just a sign-off. But this isn't just a sign-off. These are very, very personal statements. And so we're looking in these final verses at two personal summary statements that Paul offers. And they're intended to encourage us to apply by faith and obedience all that he has said in this letter. Now, the first personal summary statement, verses 21 and 22, concerns the provision of personal information. Paul's wanting the Ephesians to have personal information about him. So we see, beginning in verse 21, the purveyor of this information, Tychicus. He is referred to in verse 21 as the beloved brother in the Lord. The phrase "in the Lord" applies both to the word brother and to faithful servant. He is the beloved brother in the Lord. Tychicus, a teammate of Paul, and known as one who knows Christ, who is a brother in Christ. We see a similar reference to Tychicus toward the end of the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." So Tychicus was sent by Paul not only to Ephesus but to Colossae for the purpose of communicating this information. He is the beloved brother in the Lord, which is the same as in Christ, all throughout this letter. And I'll probably say it a handful of times throughout this message. This really is the time for you to go back and reread the entire book of Ephesians. Probably a half a dozen times or so. And one of those times, as you read through the book of Ephesians, notice phrases like in Christ, in Him, in the Lord. Notice that. And here we see Tychicus is our beloved brother in Christ, in the Lord. And he's considered a faithful servant, diakonos, a servant in the Lord. He is, we saw that same phrase in Colossians 4, 7 and 8, a faithful servant, a fellow bond servant in the Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 4, we read that Paul was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Tychicus was a teammate of Paul. You do know, I hope, by now, that serving the Lord is not an individual activity. It is a team activity. Do you know that? Paul rarely went anywhere alone. Just read the book of Acts. He rarely went anywhere alone. He usually was accompanied or meeting up with a team. And Tychicus was one of those teammates. Paul would say to us, everybody ought to have a Tychicus. And maybe for you, we could say, and maybe you ought to be a Tychicus for someone. So, a faithful servant in the Lord. Tychicus was sent by Paul, and we see here that in verse 22, Paul says, I have sent him to you. Sent by Paul. And he was sent for a number of purposes. He was sent by Paul to deliver some of Paul's letters. How did the letter to the Ephesians get to the Ephesians? Tychicus brought it to them. How did the letter to the Colossians get to the Colossians? Tychicus brought it to them. How did Philemon and 2 Timothy and Titus get to their destinations? Tychicus took those letters there. He was a deliverer of Paul's letters. And he was sent by Paul to inform and encourage the churches. And so we see that here in these verses, that you may know about my circumstances. He will make everything known to you, that you may know about us, that you may have comfort in your hearts. He was sent to inform the Ephesians and to comfort them. And other times he was sent to relieve the leaders of the churches, at least temporarily. So if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, you see Paul says, "But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Titus chapter 3, verse 12, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." So Paul says, if I send Tychicus, Titus, you need to come meet me. Titus, you need a vacation to come and meet with me. And while you're gone, either Artemis or Tychicus is going to take your place there in Crete. There was a time when Tychicus relieved Timothy at Ephesus for a while. So they knew him. They got to know him, sent by Paul. Now, the purpose of this information is verses 21 and 22, so that the Ephesian believers will know about Paul's welfare. Remember, he's in prison. So while he's in prison, how's he doing? And they want to know, not only because Paul was personally important to them, but in the verses that we looked at last week, verses 19 and 20, what did Paul just ask them to do? He had just asked them to pray for him. And he told them what to pray for and how to pray in verses 19 and 20. But I'm sure the Ephesians would have said, "Well, okay, but Paul, how's it going there in prison in Rome? How are you doing?" Paul says, ask Tychicus. I'm sending him. I'm not going to write all of that to you now. I'm sending Tychicus. Ask him, and he will tell you how I'm doing so that you'll be able to pray for me more effectively. And this information is offered as well so that the Ephesians will be comforted. Verse 22, that he may comfort your hearts, that the Ephesians will know, hey, you know what? Everything Paul wrote in this letter is still true. You know, being in prison and just giving us a discussion about spiritual warfare and armor doesn't change any of the goodness of God's salvation. Doesn't change a thing. Have comfort in your hearts. You'll know how I'm doing. It's okay. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 8, which we saw earlier, Paul said concerning Tychicus that he may encourage your hearts. Comfort, encouragement. In light of this whole letter now of Ephesians, Paul is saying, look, everything I have said, it's all true and it's all for you. All of it. You should still, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, you should still be speaking the truth in love. You should still be loving one another, growing up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each or every individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is all okay. Pray for me. Love one another. Be comforted. Be encouraged in this. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Christ loves you. Say, but Paul, you're in prison. Yes, but Christ loves you. Christ loves me. But Paul, you're in prison. Yes, but Christ loves me. Christ loves you. Love one another. Chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You have the love of Christ. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Tychicus wants to remind them, look, yeah, Paul's in prison, but Paul has all this, and you have all this. Be comforted. Be encouraged in this. Be part of the team. Keep on loving Paul and praying for Paul, and keep on loving one another and praying for one another. So, you can read this as, well, okay, he just promises to send a guy to give information. Or you can read this as a very personal kind of provision of this information. And that's how Paul intended this. Now, the second personal summary statement is the benediction of verses 23 and 24. The promise in personal benediction. Now, in verse 23, we see the source of this benediction. Where's this coming from? And right away you want to say, well, it's coming from Paul. Well, yeah, Paul's writing it, but it's actually coming through Paul. Who's it coming from? It's coming from God the Father. And you'll want to remember this from back in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the very beginning of Ephesians, when I say, from God the Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, one God, Jesus Christ. This is from the triune God, this benediction, from the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful or believing in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you could read it, God our Father, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this runs throughout the entire letter. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. The Father, Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. The beginning of the book is from God. The end of the book is from God. And everything in the middle of the book is from God. The greeting, the benediction, and everything in the middle. Yes, it was written through Paul. It's through Paul. But it's from God. The Father and the Son. The entire letter. This shows to us every word in Ephesians is the Word of God. It's all from Him. So that's the source of this benediction. You know what? That's a very good review of Ephesians. It really is. Now, the emphases of Paul's benediction, these summarize the promises. Back in chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. Promises that are fulfilled and applied to us in Christ and should be applied by us in faith. Now, what are these emphases? The first one in verse 23 is peace. Peace. Irene. Peace be to the brethren. Irene. The Greek word Irene is equivalent to the Hebrew word, Old Testament Hebrew word, shalom. Irene, peace. And this peace has been, again, spoken of throughout the book of Ephesians. Again, chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace. Chapter 2, verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Chapter 2, verse 15. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Verse 16, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And verse 17, and He came and He preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Peace. He's talking about the at-oneness, the shalom, the peace between Jews and Gentiles, saved Jews and saved Gentiles in the body of Christ. One new man, peace. Chapter 4, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the bond of peace is Jesus. He Himself is our peace, we just saw. Our peace. Chapter 6, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Throughout Ephesians, believers have peace with God through the gospel. They have the peace of God, and they are at peace with one another in Christ, who is our peace. When believers are not at peace with one another, somebody ought to ask, is there somebody who's not saved? Is there somebody who's not in Christ? Because in Christ, there's peace. That's one of the emphases Paul gives here of the book of Ephesians. Peace be to you. And in 6:23, love. And he says, love with faith. Now, we'll come to faith in a moment. But love with faith is the phrase. Love with faith be to the brethren. What do you mean, love with faith? Love, and he's talking about God's love for you. God's love is understood by faith. Love is enlightened from the knowledge faith gives in understanding God's love. Say, you mean we're supposed to understand God's love? Oh, yes. God's love, and it's important throughout this book, and it leads to everything Paul says about our love for one another as well. Chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. That's Jesus. Remember, back to chapter 1, being chosen, being predestined is an act, it's a great act of God's love. God's love. Don't ever turn those things into something scary or something to run away from or hide from or use them to turn God into a mean God. Election, choosing, and predestination are acts of love. That's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 1 verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. You can only love each other with agape, the love of God, if you have the love of God. You love each other out of God's love for you. Chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Remember, this was a prayer by Paul, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell, that's abide, that's not indwell, he may abide in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. How do you know and understand the love of God, the love of Christ? How do you know it and understand it when it surpasses knowledge? The height is higher than high. The depth is deeper than deep. The breadth is broader than broad. This is big. This is infinite. This is eternal love. How do you know that and understand it? Ephesians 3, through faith. Ephesians 3:17. Through faith, rooted and grounded in love. You get it by believing it. Say, well, I need to understand it before I can believe it. No, you need to believe it before you can understand it. That's Ephesians 3. This great love of God. Chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. He loved you. Chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Believers, Ephesians tells you, you have peace with God and you have the love of God. The third emphasis, faith. Chapter 6, verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith. Now, we've just explained how faith informs love. Faith is spoken of throughout the book of Ephesians as well. Chapter 1, verse 1. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful or believing in Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. How do you receive all of this that's in this book? The answer is by believing. You receive it by faith. You take it by believing it. And it's yours. Chapter 1, verse 15. Having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all attain or arrive at the unity of the faith. The faith. Chapter 6, verse 16. The shield of faith. If you're saved, you have faith. You were saved through faith. Faith. You have the shield of faith. All of this has been granted to you. Emphasis number 4. Grace. Verse 24, grace be. Probably better would be grace is with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, charis. Again, it is throughout this book. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you. Chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us. By the way, if it's not freely bestowed, it's not grace. Grace is freely bestowed. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. You have riches of grace lavished on you. That's Ephesians. That's your identity in Christ. It's your inheritance in Christ. Grace lavished on you. Chapter 2, verse 5. By grace you have been saved. Chapter 2, verse 7. In ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Chapter 3, verse 2, "You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Chapter 3, verse 7, "Which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me." Chapter 4, verse 7, "But to each one of us grace," or a grace gift, "was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Grace, the riches, the inheritance, the glory of His grace. This benediction is celebrating all that you are and all that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ. Just go back and read the book again. And this time, look for all that you are and all that you have in Christ. Now, if you haven't done it already, make yourself a list of those things. That's who you are. Now, the recipients of these benediction promises, peace, love, faith, grace, the recipients in chapter 6, verse 23, are the brethren. Every believer in Christ has everything that is in Christ, including all of His peace and love and faith and grace and everything else that goes with it in the book. And these recipients, the brethren, are described in verse 24 as all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Now listen carefully. Loving Jesus does not save you. Believing Him, trusting Him, saves you. Loving Jesus does not save you. But being saved causes love for Jesus. We can say it this way: saved people love Jesus. They're not saved because they love Jesus. They love Jesus because they're saved. But saved people love Jesus. You say, "Well, boy, I really like my salvation. I just can't stand Jesus." Okay, something's really wrong there, isn't it? Saved people love Jesus. They love Him, verse 24 says, with incorruptible. Sometimes that word is used in the context of immortal. This is you could say, undying love. And if it's immortal and incorruptible and undying, it's forever. It's eternal love. Loving Jesus forever. One other time, Paul gave a benediction with this kind of statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Is that clear enough? Loving Jesus is a vital result of your salvation. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha, which is come. Lord, come quickly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And some manuscripts put the word amen here at the end of Ephesians 6:24. Amen. Can you say amen to the book of Ephesians? Wow. An amazing thing. Jesus, you've given us salvation and blessings, riches, understanding, eyes to comprehend. You've given us inheritance. You've given us peace and love and faith and grace. You've given us armor. You've given us your Holy Spirit's permanent indwelling and constant filling. You've given us spiritual gifts. You've given us authority over invisible rulers and powers. You've made us into your church, given us belonging and purpose. You've made us co-heirs with Christ, raised with him, seated with him. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Jesus, you are God, the Lord, the Creator. You are our authority, our power. You are the Victor, the Savior, the Head of the Church. You are our peace. You are our love. You are our beauty and our joy. Jesus, we love you. We love you. If anyone at all here without salvation yet today, you're here, maybe you're listening in on this. Understand. The Spirit of God is working within you. drawing you to believe. To believe that Jesus died in your place and for your sins on the cross. That He sacrificed His own blood for you. Believe that. He was buried. He rose again. And He is alive today to give salvation, riches, heavenly riches to those who believe. Believe on Him and you will be saved. Take that salvation from Him, for He is the one who grants it to you. And Lord, for every saved person, may each one reflect to You their love. And as we have sung earlier and we'll sing again, we love You because You have loved us first. Lord, we couldn't even love You well, but You have poured out Your love in us. And Lord, by faith now, we just express that same love You have given to us back to You. We worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.